And now it's time for us to discuss more of those headlines in simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Let's get started. We have a lot of headlines to cover, starting with the impending void in our, well, medical services. Our first keyword of the day.
Medical chaos.
So fears of a healthcare crisis have become a reality after trainee doctors began submitting their letters of collective resignation in protest against the government's plan to raise medical school admissions. So what's the latest, Adam?
Right. So across the nation, a large number of resident doctors and interns from training hospitals, as well as those including at the Big Five hospitals in Seoul, have already submitted their resignations. They were to leave their post from 6 a.m. today, about an hour ago. Now, the governor stated its intention to take strict measures. The absence of medical staff has led to the postponement of surgeries and other patient care issues. In addition to the residents and interns at the Big Five, thousands more nationwide have expressed their desire to resign as well. The government has issued an order for the provision of medical treatment to be maintained by the trainee doctors, but that has simply fallen on deaf ears. Now, the residents who have left their hospitals are scheduled to hold an emergency general meeting at the Korean Medical Association headquarters in Yongsan at noon today. So we'll probably get more details about their collective action after that meeting happens. And we'll probably see any kind of signals or hints at some strikes that are probably likely to happen as well. Mm. Now, patient harm is already emerging across various locations. Hospitals are scrambling to adjust schedules to cope with the immediate medical staff shortage. Most hospitals are prioritizing emergency and critical surgeries due to limited available personnel. Now, the government is mobilizing public hospitals and military hospitals, as well as pushing for an expansion of remote medical services, or these telemedicine, as it's known, in preparation for the healthcare crisis. It is also urging medical associations to refrain from collective action, expressing readiness for dialogue at any time. They've been saying that for a while now, but it seems like the medical associations aren't willing to talk, but rather pursue or carry out their collective actions. So, yeah, it's only the beginning of these collective actions. More are expected, more people, more doctors, rather, are expected to join this collective action. Rallies are scheduled over the weekend as well from the KMA. So, yeah, the situation is only worsening from now on.
And who gets the worst end of it? Surgeries had to be canceled or postponed at the very least. It's the patients that gets the shortest end of the stick. But if you look at what's at stakes here, I mean, you're talking about 20 years of tug of war between then governments and the medical community going back and forth when and how much to expand the quota by. And this is a 19th year where apparently we haven't seen expansion. Similar proposals have been made in the past, and similar reactions came from the doctors.
Yeah, so it's a tough one. I mean, it's certainly strong opinions on both sides.
Right,
19 years is a long time. Of course, the demographics have changed during that period. The trends and the situation in the medical field have also changed accordingly as well. So the government believes that now is the time before it's too late. But of course, doctors are still adamant of the fact that it's not going to be the best plan in terms of improving the medical sector. But who's right? I guess that is the tough question. But it's a tough situation for patients nonetheless at the moment. So there's been cases where there's a lot of important and critical surgeries being postponed as well, which is, adding fuel to the already burning fire at the moment.
All right, we'll leave it there for now so we can move on to our second keyword of the day.
Parliamentary session.
The February extraordinary session of the National Assembly, it's the last extraordinary session before the April general elections. It has kicked off. What can we expect?
Right, so with the elections just 50 days away now, or 51, or 50, rival parties are expected to wage, of course, fierce battles over election law, the drawing of electoral districts, and laws for the dual special investigations into various allegations against the First Lady Kim Gani and the so-called Taejangdong 50 billion club, this whole bribery scandal surrounding that area. Now, the floor leaders of the two major parties will give addresses. Hong-Pyor of the DP will give an address today. His PPP counterpart, Yoon Jae-yok, will give a speech on Wednesday. On Thursday and Friday, there will be Q&A sessions for the government on non-economic and economic issues. A session to deal with various bills related to people's livelihoods is scheduled for the 29th. The bill to amend the Public Officials or Offices Election Act to draw electoral districts is also stalled and is in limbo in Parliament. So we'll have to see if any progress is made on that. Most probably not, though. Now, the National Assembly Speaker Kim Jin-pyo has called for quick decisions from both parties in regards to these bills, especially with only a few months left now until the April general elections. Now, he proposed legislation to regulate the process of revising the electoral system by law, and he noted that the repeated disruptions every 4 years in applying election laws and delineating electoral districts infringe upon citizens' rights to participate in democracy, were his words. It's not the first time the National Assembly and lawmakers have stalled or been late in determining basically the rules of elections before these general elections happen. We saw the same picture happening in 2020. They only left it, I think it was about a month until they actually decided on what the rules were. And it's probably going to be the same story this time around as well. It might not be, but it's most likely.
It's been a busy news cycle, hasn't it?
Yeah, certainly.
Barely keeping up.
It's only going to get busier from now on. And brace yourselves.
Brace yourselves. So let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Rate freeze expected.
So Bank of Korea is likely to keep its key interest rate at 3.5% at its next meeting as inflation hasn't slowed down enough to reach the BOK's goal of 2%. So keep the status quo for now. What's the latest?
Yeah, so it's pretty much the same story. But moreover, the issue of increasing household debt hasn't really been fully addressed as well. So there's no rush in terms of the BOK's eyes to lower interest rates at this moment. Furthermore, the US Fed is also cautious about lowering its rates due to ongoing inflation concerns, making it unlikely for the BOK to reduce rates before the US does, especially considering the significant gap between the interest rates of the two countries. Now, experts predict that if the US starts to lower rates around June, the BOK might begin to ease its monetary policy in the second half of the year. Some are saying maybe in the fourth quarter, so maybe towards the end of the year, we'll have to see. Now, according to a survey of six economic experts conducted by Yonhap News, all of them believe that the BOK will decide to keep the current interest rates unchanged in their meeting on Thursday. They highlighted concerns not just about inflation, but also about the continuing increase in household debt and the revived activity in the real estate market due to development promises, especially ahead of the general election. So that means that there's going to be more transactions, more willing buyers. And that, of course, means an overheated real estate market. So that is another reason why the BOK might want to keep interest rates as they are at the moment to try and, you know, stem any overheating of the real estate market. Now, these experts also mentioned that while the inflation rate drop in January signals a downward trend, there is still potential for the rate to increase again due to, of course, factors like geopolitical risks affecting oil prices and persistent high cost of living.
All right, let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Cybersecurity.
So intelligence agencies from South Korea and Germany have jointly issued a security advisory concerning cyber threats, particularly from North Korea. Tell us the details.
All right, so this marks the second occasion, actually, that the two countries have issued a joint cybersecurity statement against the North cyber attacks. The advisory calls for heightened security awareness in response to ongoing cyber campaigns originating from North Korea. The two agencies disclosed details about the tactics, techniques, and procedures, as well as indicators of compromise utilized by Pyongyang. Now, indicators of compromise basically means any signs of systems or technologies being compromised. Now, the statement also highlighted two representative incidents. One case involves a North Korean hacking group breaking into a marine and shipbuilding research center in late 2022. Instead of attacking the institution directly, they first hacked into a maintenance company with weaker security. They stole server account information from there and used it to sneak in to the institution's server. Now, they tried to spread a virus to all employees, but switched tactics to spear phishing emails when they were uncovered in their initial plan. Now, another case is about the Lazarus Group, another North Korean hacking group, using social tricks since mid-2020 to get into defense companies. They pretended to be job recruiters on LinkedIn to get close to employees of these companies. After building a friendly relationship by talking about things the employees were interested in, they lured them into other social media platforms under the pretext of discussing job opportunities. Then they tried to get malware onto their computers by sending them PDFs about job offers. Now, there's those are just a couple of the instances, of many instances that happens in regards to trying to steal information and hack into Western defense institutions and technologies. Now, both agencies believe North Korea is trying to steal advanced military technology from all over the world. They believe the regime uses this stolen technology to improve its strategic weapons, such as reconnaissance satellites and submarines. The agencies emphasize the importance of educating employees on these tactics and creating an open environment where they can easily report any suspicious activity. So sometimes the North Korean hackers are successful because the employees and some of these people who are hacked are simply unaware that they are being hacked. So, yeah, this is an area of concern. And the Korean NIS has teamed up with Germany to try and stress the point.
Okay, so first and foremost, raise awareness. Everyone's aware that this is, in fact, a tactic utilized by North Korea. More common than we'd imagine, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our final keyword of the day.
Ceasefire.
So the United States has proposed a draft UN resolution calling for a temporary ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war and opposing an Israeli ground offensive in the southern city of Rafah, a densely populated area with, of course, the Palestinian refugees. What's the latest, Adam?
Right. So Algeria actually put forward an initial draft resolution more than 2 weeks ago, which would have demanded an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in the war. Now, the Algerian draft resolution was due to be put to a vote on Tuesday. Now, the U.S. previously signaled that it would be vetoed, saying it could jeopardize the quote-unquote sensitive negotiations on the captives taken by Hamas and other armed groups from Israel into Gaza. Now, instead, the U.S. has suggested an alternative resolution that omits the demand for a ceasefire but expresses concern over Israel's ground forces attacks towards Rafah. Now, Israel's plan to storm Rafah have prompted widespread international concern that such a move would kill large number of civilians and sharply worsen the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Now, the alternative draft said the UN Security Council should underscore its support for a temporary ceasefire in Gaza as soon as practical, based on the formula of all hostages being released, while also lifting all barriers to the provision of humanitarian assistance at scale in Gaza. Now, the US draft for the first time actually raises the idea of a ceasefire, but does not say there should be one straight away. So in terms of that, there is some significant change in the language. Now, the US has previously vetoed two resolutions calling for a ceasefire in the UNSC, but has abstained from voting on two other resolutions that called for a pause in hostilities for humanitarian reasons and the expansion of humanitarian aid, allowing those to be adopted. So for the first time, the US has in its draft resolution included the word ceasefire, just not one straight away. We'll have to see if there's any other developments regarding a ceasefire in terms of these resolutions going forward. We'll have to see.
Because the resolution needs at least 9 votes in favor and no vetoes by permanent members, namely, as you mentioned, the United States. We'll wait and see. Thank you very much, Adam. What a busy news cycle. We'll do this all over again tomorrow morning.
We certainly will. You're very welcome. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.